Welcome to CryptoCast by Gunnar Cook, the leading industry podcast that brings together expert guests to discuss hot topics and useful advice for blockchain and crypto asset businesses. I am James Burney, and thank you for joining me today. Hello, and welcome to another episode of CryptoCast. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Karine Segouin, who is Head of Business Development Fund Services Europe at Trident Trust, and Aaron Samut, who is Director, Head of Fund Services at Trident Trust. Trident Trust is a global corporate fiduciary and fund administrator. Hi, Queen Aaron. Great to have you on.
Hi, James. Very nice to be here.
Hi, James. Hi.
So just in terms of kind of setting the scene a bit for those who are less familiar with fund administration, can you give some background as to what Trident Trust do and the role of the administrator for a fund?
Yeah, sure. So we, as you mentioned it, we are privately owned provider of corporate services and fund administration services set up in 1978. And we are servicing all types of alternative investment funds out of 50 billion of AUA. We have about 70% of committed capital funds, so PE, VC, and about 30% of liquid strategies, so hedge fund and crypto. We're present in most of the fund jurisdictions, including onshore US, Cayman, Singapore, Dubai, Malta, and Luxembourg. So to come back on your question, so the role of the administrator, there are four main tasks that we perform and four main responsibilities. So first, the fund accounting. So we are in charge of all the bookkeeping, the reconciliation of transactions, and that eventually leads us to calculate the NAV, which typically is on a monthly base for crypto funds, for example. Then the second part is investor services. So that's our work as a transfer agent. We process the subscription, redemptions, the transfers. We do the AML KYC on the new investors, and we communicate also that with investors, typically via an online portal. And then the third part is the preparation of the financial statements. So that's really an important part that starts months before the audit or close. So we assist the auditors in the end of year audit process. And then maybe on a more ancillary basis, we do all types of regulatory reporting. So we're talking about, for example, FATCA CRS, Annex 4 for UK manager, also providing Cayman AML officers, or typically more specifically for crypto funds, we can also act as a shard holder of the private keys for crypto funds.
And also kind of, you know, you obviously therefore see quite a lot of funds which get created. We also see more and more people coming into the fund management space at the moment. Are there kind of like common mistakes that first-time fund managers are making as regards fund administration and that they should be wary of or aware of at least when trying to run their fund?
Yeah, I mean, I'll mention some and maybe Aaron then will add some more. But for me, the usual mistake is really to focus too much on the investment strategy at the expense of the operations and risk functions. And that's maybe more acute with crypto managers because a lot of them are first-time managers. And so they actually sometimes underestimate the importance of having a strong CEO who can interact with the administrators, with the custodians, the prime brokers, and the auditors. And from our own experience, all the crypto managers who have survived the latest market turbulences, and we have, I forgot to mention, we've been around, we've been servicing crypto funds since 2018. So, and we have managers who are still growing since that date, and they, all of them have actually a strong CEO in their team. That's the first one. The other one is a bit similar, but it's really also to not always grasping the way a fund operates from a regulatory compliance and accounting perspective. Especially prevalent when the fund operates with its own proprietary capital, at least at the beginning. And so we see some managers who operate a bit like if they still had a managed account as opposed to a fund framework. So they forget to inform the fund administrator when they change the strategy or transfer money to a new prime broker account. So that's the second mistake. And just to finish on common mistake. It's not really a mistake, but it's more a tip on how things could get better and more efficiently is really is with the collection of the investors' KYC AML. So that's a painful process in any case, but it can be less painful and less frustrating if the managers act as a go-between, or at least keep an oversight on the collection of the KYC and continuously interact with us, the fund administrator.
If I may add, in fact, to what Karen is saying, the common mistakes she mentioned are quite common, I must say, because, for example, the lack of a CEO or the sort of the go-to person within the fund manager or the GP is something which we find very often and which unfortunately causes us some issues and then eventually inefficiencies in us delivering the NAV, delivering the contract notes or the statements to the investors or to the fund manager. Because if, for example, there is a change in an investment strategy, the opening of a new broker account, the opening of an account with a new exchange, for example, all these will create inefficiencies when at month end, for example, we are preparing the NAV. Unless we get informed of these new sort of exchanges, you know, we need to get the data from somewhere. So if we are not aware in advance, of course, this will create inefficiencies and delays. And the common mistake also that Karen mentioned, this was, for example, with respect to the collection of due diligence from the investors. Yes, this is a painful process. And unfortunately, if there isn't any help or assistance from the fund manager or the GP, who knows quite well the investors, of course, better than us as fund administrator and transfer agent, you know, it will also create inefficiencies and sometimes also frustration from the investor, because we are asking the information in line with the AML rules of the applicable jurisdiction. And if there is no assistance or, for example, explanation or clarification when it comes to getting the information, of course, it will create these frustrations and inefficiencies, which will not help in the relationship between us as fund administrators, the investors, and ultimately also the fund manager and the GP.
And just a question, in terms of more specifically in crypto as well, because, you know, I think crypto funds are kind of, in some ways, everything's the same, but in some ways are specific things around the fact that they're crypto funds. Are there any specific issues in relation to crypto funds which they face with audit compared to kind of more traditional funds?
So, yeah, as you said, James, when it comes also to audit, there are a number of similarities between being a crypto fund and non-crypto fund. Particularly, for example, I would mention planning before the audit. So you meet with the auditors and with the fund manager before the audit starts. Communication. So there must be an ongoing communication so that we see that the plan that you have made together with the auditors is actually being implemented on a day-to-day basis. So those two are very similar. Unless you have a good plan and a good communication, of course, you would fail both for a crypto fund and even for a non-crypto fund. But when it goes specifically to crypto funds, there are some specifics that, of course, we need to go into. In particular, for example, the expertise and the ongoing training. For crypto funds, when we started in the beginning, as Karen was mentioning earlier, like let's say 5-6 years ago when we started doing crypto funds, in the beginning, you know, everyone was still learning, both us, the auditors, the fund managers, and, you know, at the time, everyone was helping each other. Now, six years down the line, fund managers and even auditors are expecting from us as administrators that we know our job, that we know our role, we know what we need to do, what we need to deliver. And this, of course, to do it, you need to build expertise. And you need to build expertise, not just one time and you stop at that, but you need to keep this expertise and training on an ongoing basis. For example, if I take what we do here within Trident, we go on regular training, seminars when it comes to crypto on the asset class itself, but even more in this case when it comes to audit on the IFRS in particular, so the International Financial Reporting Standards, which are applicable to crypto. Every so often there are updates which we need to keep abreast of, and we need then to implement those IFRS updates onto the preparation of the financial statements. So that when we are in communication with the auditor, especially, you know, we are speaking the same language. So that's one thing. The second thing that is specific to crypto is the record keeping. you might say, listen, but record keeping is also applicable also to non-crypto. Yes, it's fine. But for the asset class per se, there are some sort of things which are unique to the crypto asset class. For example, how we receive income from staking, the rewards, the airdrops, for example, that we get in crypto, which you don't get in the traditional finance. So all of these need to be sort of taken care of and addressed beforehand. When it comes to, for example, the trial balance, you need to have a system, you need to have a trial balance that is flexible enough to cater for these unique matters within crypto, as I mentioned, the airdrops, the staking, liquidity pools, for example, when it comes to DeFi. So the trial balance needs to be flexible enough that the fund accountant, when he's trying to book an entry, he needs to book it in a specific account, not just, for example, as you may do in a traditional finance, you put everything in one account, because then eventually when you are trying to do the audit at the end, you'll have everything mixed up in one account. And of course, it's a painful process to try to split and identify where that data is coming from. So that's the second thing. And the last one to conclude, but as I say, last but not least, is technology. Definitely technology plays a key role in crypto fund administration, not just on an ongoing basis, but also at all the stage. And it is important that the fund administrator invests in technology, which helps him and eventually the fund manager and the auditor to basically audit the data. And for example, this is highly, it can be highlighted, especially in those funds which are high frequency trading. In those funds which are high frequency trading and they do, for example, an arbitrage strategy, they trade a lot, up to, for example, a million trades per month. And of course, you need to record as much as possible in detail, in granular detail, the data when it comes to realized gains or losses, derivatives trading. All of this is important that the administrator has the technology in place to cover for these unique, or I'd say specific matters that you find only in crypto funds.
That's very interesting. I think it's things people need to be very aware of. I think lastly, it'd be good just to sort of, given the nature of the crypto asset industry and the ability for it to evolve, can you give a sort of feel to, do you think the role of the fund administrator is going to change in the context of crypto funds in the future? Or do you think it's now pretty stable? If you had a sort of crystal ball, what do you think is the future of fundament for crypto funds is going to be?
Yes, so I would say that the role of the fund administrator now, and then I go back to what I said a few minutes ago, now the role of the fund administrator is quite defined and quite understandable by all the parties involved in a crypto fund. So by the auditor, by the fund manager or the GP, the investor. So everyone sort of knows what is the role of the fund administrator. But this, of course, doesn't mean that it stops there, you know, because the role itself, or actually how you perform the role for us as fund administrator, is changing. So I referred a few minutes ago to technology. Technology is the major factor that will drive the role of the fund administrator forward, especially when it comes to crypto. So I think in the past, we have all heard about tokenization, about AI, about robotics, you know, all of this together with the technology we have in place will help the role of the fund administrator to be more efficient, to be quicker, to take on additional work when it comes to crypto fund administration. So, you know, and both myself and Karin, and as a group Trident, we attended seminars, we spoke with service providers out there who are offering tokenized units, for example, which is very interesting. It's something which we are looking into quite intensively, I must say, because if you will not invest as a fund administrator in the new technology, your role will be one which is still traditional, and you know, in no time you will be left, unfortunately, out of business. So it's something which, as a group, Trident Trust, we are looking into quite actively, so that we develop even further our technology.
On the technology point, I will also add the development that we see, the huge development on the AML KYC. So we are about to finish our digital onboarding journey, so we'll be able to deploy a digital onboarding systems for investors, but also, for example, for in-kind investments. We've already invested in a kind of forensic tool which enable us to potentially deal with that, but for that we feel that the regulatory still has to confirm what can be done in which way, but at least we are getting ready from a technological point of view to be able to tackle those as for potentially tokenized funds, as Aaron said.
Thank you, Karina. I'm afraid that's all we've got time for today. If anyone would like to reach out, Karina's email is ksegun, that's ksegun at tridenttrust.com, and Aaron's email is asamut, that's asamut at tridenttrust.com. Karina, it's been great having you on. Thank you very much.
Thank you, James.
Thank you for the pleasure.
Thank you for listening to CryptoCast by Gunnar Cook. Gunnar Cook is a market-leading law firm advising on blockchain, Web3, crypto assets, and DeFi. Our members have been heavily involved in helping to shape the legal and regulatory framework for blockchain and crypto assets. Our team works across multiple jurisdictions, including Germany and the US. We are the only UK law firm to officially accept payments in crypto. Our client base more than 150. Before we go, if you enjoyed the episode, please leave a review on your podcast service and make sure you're following Gunnar Cook on social media and sign up to our CryptoCast mailing list on the Gunnar Cook website. Thank you for listening.